Deal with your stuff. Amen? Deal with it. Believe what God says about it and quit playing games with it that keeps you in the wrong wisdom and full of shame. Period. Who cares? You got to say it first. You don't need to make up anything around it. Don't fluff it up. If you're going to community college, you don't go to community college saying, I'm going to community college until I get into a blah, blah, blah school and do this and that. It doesn't matter why you're going to community college. Are you going to community college to save money? That's pretty smart. Are you going to community college because you don't know really for sure what you want to do right now? Amen? If you're really smart, you go to community college because the first 2 years of classes are easier and it makes your GPA better. And it saves a truckload of money, which I call that smarter than people who don't. Do you understand? You don't have to explain it. But the enemy would like to try to make you explain certain things. And then you open up to this demonic thing I'm talking about, reasoning. Because now your brain is trying to justify. Now your brain is hiding under shame. Now you're do you see what I'm saying? Now you're trying to feel better about yourself. Why do you have to feel better about yourself? How about just feel good about yourself? Is everybody breathing? Amen. Watch, here we go. Okay, we're good. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, do you get what I'm saying? This thing, this demonic tormenting spirit always, always wants to be your judge. It always wants to tell you what you did wrong. It always wants to make a way to make you feel better about it. How about this? I don't need to feel better about it. Amen? Amen? If you're in here and you never went to college, so what? You chose not to go to college. So don't be upset with the person who chose to go to college. And if you go to college, who are you to care if the other person didn't go to college? Who cares? If you make $50,000 a year and somebody else makes $12,000 a year, who cares? If you make $200,000 a year, please tithe. Amen. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? God's helping different people to see this. If your skin is black and somebody asks you your nationality or whatever, or you're talking, you're like, yeah, well, I'm part Indian. What part? Who cares? You know, who cares? I mean, it's okay if it's a real conversation about that. Nobody really cares. You've got to be real about why you're saying what you're saying. You've got to be real about what you're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when you're not, you're using this wrong wisdom that opened your mind to the enemy. If your marriage stinks, then your marriage stinks. Now let me. If your marriage stinks, because your marriage stinks. All right. Now let me say this. You say things according to what God says. Amen? Amen. This isn't about wham, wham, wham. This is about breaking free from the shame. That's what this is about. This is about breaking free from making something fancier, lovelier, and bigger. This church is small. There isn't a lot of you here. Sunday, there was less here than this today. So for me to say, well, it's because I'm more of a radio. I'm nothing, okay? I don't care. Just come if you want. If you don't, come anyway if you're supposed to. And if you're not supposed to, don't. But if you're supposed to, you really probably should be here. Amen? If I die and this church never is bigger than this, so what? If your checkbook is never bigger, so what? If your checkbook is gigantic, then so what? If this becomes 1,000 people, then so what? Y'all better volunteer more. Amen? No, I mean, I'm helping you see how this thing operates and works and tries to keep you in shame and tries to keep you feeling bound. And so, you know, it's okay to be where you are.
Amen.
It's okay for Alex to be sitting in a conversation knowing he's fighting the enemy and he wants people who know him to overcome with him and to say, I need to overcome this thing. Let me say this. And then say it the way God would have you say it. We're talking about that. Why do you say it the way God wants you to say it? Because then I am taking my brain and giving it to God and not reason evil reasonings. There is nothing that you can say out of your mouth that you cannot say either in faith or fear. We say, well, I still have fear, so why should I say it in faith? Because you want to obey God. I speak in faith until I have the faith. And when I have the faith, I don't have to speak it anymore. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, not seen. Once I really have the faith, it's solved. In the process of that, I speak what God says. Why? Because I believe his word over my feelings. Amen? I believe him. If you don't believe him, then just admit you don't believe and realize you really need to see if you're saved. You need to ask, why would you believe the devil instead of God? That's not real smart. Amen? Because if you believe the devil instead of God, you really have an issue. Amen? It doesn't mean you tell, wisdom doesn't say tell everybody everything. Amen? But the enemy has shame to try to make you not tell anybody anything. Why does God say confess with your mouth? Because he wants you out loud to break through shame. Some people have to confess their sins to somebody. Why? Because it's got shame on it. And then don't pick somebody who does worse things than you to confess it to. That's going to make you feel better. No, go to somebody where it's really hard to break through and tell them. Amen? Because that's going to bust shame off of it. Amen? All right. Let me just ask, is this helping anybody? Yeah. Is most people kind of seeing a picture of this now? Are you seeing that these reasonings, these things going on, they're to keep you what? In bondage. They're to keep you in bondage. They're to stop you from being able to listen and engage in a real conversation and have a real relationship. If Inger goes to talk to Arnold, and Arnold from, he would never have this ever anymore, but in the past, he might already know what she's going to say. And then it's like, she's about to jump on me for this. She's about to tell me I'm doing this wrong. And before she even says what she wants, he's like, I'm not talking about it now or whatever, you know, or don't say that to me or whatever. It's like, conversation off. Wall in marriage. No communication here. Because the enemy is holding their past and the way we responded in the past. So that now we haven't trust that God is working in us, that the responses will be different. When God was first showing me this, I didn't know the names of it and all this, but way back with John, we used to argue over money. And I always thought, if I say this, he'll say this. If I say this, he'll say. So a lot of times I just wouldn't even say anything. So God said, go tell him. Or I can't remember what the situation was. And I'm like, Lord, you know, he's just going to say this. Lord said, I don't care. You go tell him. So I forgot what it was. So I went and told him whatever it was. And I'm not kidding. It was kind of comical because I said the opposite of what he would normally expect me to say. He responded as if I had said what I had always said before God got a hold of me. Like he didn't even hear me. I can't remember what it was like, but it'd be something like, whatever. I need $200 for this. I'm not giving you any more money. So I forgot what it was. Lord, I went and said something more like, you know, honey, thank you for giving me that money. I don't need any more money. I'm not giving you any more money. And he's going on. I'm like, did you hear what I said? He goes, well, I wasn't expecting that. He almost had this whole fight with me and because of the pattern of the past. It was really kind of funny. I mean, he went on and on. I'm like, John, I said the opposite of that. Oh, well, thank you. I just, you know, okay. The reason was because God was working in my heart to break through this wall that we used to have in communication, which consisted of preconceived ideas, so there's no longer communication. Where the enemy is involved in your reasoning, it will cause division, it will cause walls, it will stop communication. It's the opposite of what God's wisdom does. And we got to recognize, as believers, God is working in the other person. So we don't know from this minute to the next minute what he's already done and what he's doing. Amen? And here's the thing. Well, I'm like, okay, Lord, he responded that way. That has nothing to do with me. If I let how somebody else responds stop me from freely sharing what I want to share, what God puts on my heart to share, the enemy's won. Amen? It doesn't mean we all do it smooth all the time. Amen? That's the part where we just have to walk in that love and look at the whole love scriptures and preach that. What love is and what love isn't. This is with friends too. I know they're going to say this. Anything you already know, you need to break the power of. And they say, well, what if they still do? Well, what if they still do? Then maybe tomorrow they won't. In other words, don't be conditioned by the enemy to not be able to communicate right now. And don't presume that your kids are going to whine and cry when you tell them to clean something up. They may just have a revelation from God and surprise you. And say, sure, Mom. Pinch yourself. Are you okay? Do we need to go to the doctor? Are you sure you're right? Get in here, honey. Something's wrong with the kids. Why? They said, okay, yes, ma'am. They said, yes, ma'am. Well, you're a ma'am. Yeah, but they never said that before. Amen? Come on, you get what I'm saying? We do this stuff with our parents. We do this stuff with our coworkers. We do this stuff. God wants us to stop it now. He wants us to stop now and listen and engage in the conversation and quit presuming to know and begin to pray. If you know they're going to have an attitude, if you feel like from past experience there's an attitude problem, go ask God what part of it is your problem and then change you. Ask God to work on the heart. Go apologize to them for whatever he shows you that helped put that wall there. Amen? Go and tell them, I'm sorry, I don't want to be like this anymore. You know, God was showing me just recently how much I judge John. Don't you love this conversation of flying in the plane? I'm like, Lord, you know, I wish John and I could communicate about you more. We talk about everything else. We talk about the house, the kids, but we hardly ever talk about you. And I can talk about you with everybody but him. Lord, what's wrong? And Lord wants you to add on, with you. Okay, do you get that? When you talk to God, if he tells you what's wrong with them, you're not hearing God. When he tells you what's wrong with you, you're hearing God. Oh, can we get that one loud? When you ask God, what's wrong with this situation, he's going to show you your part of the situation because that's the only part you can change. God is not letting you take his place as judge. So we're flying. The Lord says, he says, you judge him. My God. He says, yeah, he feels judged. So I'm sitting there. This isn't what I was expecting. I said, well, okay, show me. Boy, God's fast at example after example after example. You did this, you did this. It's never good enough. Who are you to get your, and it was real. Oh, this is, do you know when you justify everything, like even with other people, you do that with God too? So God can't break through and tell you why your marriage is having the problems. He can't tell you why you're not the mother or the father you should be. He can't get through to you because you've already got all your justifications, your earthly and demonic wisdom pushing away everything he's trying to really change. Amen? Because you're afraid to face you. Blame somebody else so you don't have to face you. That's the way of the enemy. So I said, God, forgive me. Show me. And he starts showing me, oh, that would be so hard. And he just began to show me from so long ago, all the places I never really stopped judging my awesome, wonderful, great husband. You couldn't have a better husband than I have. You really couldn't. And I said, God, forgive me. And I didn't run to John and say that. Sometimes you don't even get it when you say that stuff. Because God's not asking you to. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. How many know it's more powerful what really happens than what you're saying is happening? Amen. Just because I run and confess everything God showed me doesn't mean anything actually changed. That could actually be part of that false reasoning to stop me from really changing. Do you know when it changes? Everybody knows it. Amen. You don't have to try to make it look like it's changed. When it's changed, it's changed. Amen. There's no more justifying. There's no more proving. There's a freedom from all this judging. Amen. Amen. So I just asked God, forgive me, to change my heart. I let him do the work. I hung out with him. God showed me some things. All I can say is most of the communication problem we had that I thought was him was me. It was my attitude of judging him that I didn't even know I had. I cannot believe how many things I judged. I cannot believe how I decided what I could say and who I could say it and what I could say instead of just being real. God's just turned everything around in an amazing way. I mean, amazingly. I'm amazed. And I think I've taught this for so long. We need to not be hearers, but we have to apply it. Lord, show me. Can I give you this? If you ever ask God to show you something about you that he wants to change, you will probably not hear, oh, no. I can't even think of a thing. Oh, my gosh. You are so darn perfect. If anything isn't working in a relationship, it has nothing to do with you. Amen? What if I change and they don't change? Well, if you're changing to change them, it's called manipulation, and God's not in it. If you're changing to change them, it's called manipulation. It's witchcraft, and it's going to cause all kind of confusion in your home, in your office, in your business, in this church. Amen? Okay. So, if he changes me more into his likeness, it was worth the situation. Amen? But here's the thing you'll find out. When you get changed more into his likeness, there's so much grace, there's so much peace, that if they don't change a single bit, and truthfully they will, but God gives you so much grace and wisdom how to handle it. Amen? And what do we want? Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. Learn to ask for wisdom. I did not even start today's message. All right, let me start today's message. Where are we at? Matthew, what did I say? Romans 1. Oh, Romans, you're right. Romans 1 who? 28. 1, okay, Romans 1, 28. All right, let me go to literal. Just so you know, I look all this up in the Strong's before I ever say it. So when I give you these definitions, I've looked it up in the dictionary, I've looked it up in the Strong's and all this kind of thing. All right. If this is it. 121, okay. 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 Let's go up to 118. God's wrath is revealed from heaven on all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, holding the truth and unrighteousness. All right, real quickly. Holding the truth and unrighteousness. Basically, they've perverted truth. They take real truth, but they hold it in perversion, right? Because the thing known of God is clearly known within them. I want you to see this. Every single person is created in the image of God. Every single person has a soul that was created and designed to walk with God. So God will never say to any person, there's no way you could have found me, there's no way you could have known me. So you don't have to worry about him being unfaithful or unfair. Now, if somebody hears the good news of the gospel, because we're supposed to take it and preach it, That's good news so that their whole life can be embraced by him now and they can walk with him now and hang out with him now and have a great life. Amen? But nobody will stand before him that he can't judge because he put something in them to seek after him. These people having dreams in these Muslim nations and these totally unreached people knowing that there's a God and knowing things about this God, having visions of this God, is because God placed within them a desire to know him, and they're choosing to go after him. And if you seek him, you'll find him. So he's saying here, the thing known of God is clearly known within them, for God revealed it to them. God's made sure everybody knows that he's really God. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. All right. The unseen things of God are clearly seen. When you look at insects and you see how amazingly ugly they are, right? Or do you know what I mean? When you look at this, when you look at how things work, when you look at, it's amazing, like the way eagles stay together and they're faithful to each other, a guy and girl eagle, and how they kick the babies out of the nest at the right time, and just every single thing in nature has some unseen God that you know has to be there. No, this couldn't have just happened. You know, this shows me something about God. Everything, it's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, God created the entire world to glorify him. And people were created to see that. People were created to see that. The enemy wants to pervert that and get away from that. He goes on. All right. Being understood by the things made, both his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. So, God is saying here, look, I created everything. I put it within them for them to clearly know through creation that there's something bigger than themselves, that there's an eternal power and even a Godhead, that there's a personality of God that's Father-like. There's a personality of God that's Savior. There's a personality of God that's a power that empowers, that speaks and talks. Like all of God's personality is revealed in nature. Amen? Amen. He says, they have no excuse. Because knowing God, all right, here we go. Because knowing God, knowing that there had to be a God, they did not glorify him as God. And they were not thankful. And we talked about this last week. You need to get that. Thankfulness is powerful. When the enemy wants to get you into reprobate thinking and wants to get you defiant and rebellious, he's going to work at making you ungrateful. Why did you make bitter? Why did you make me like this? Why did you let that person die? Why didn't this happen when I was young? Why did this happen? Why is this going on? Do you see this? These are all those things yelling in the face of God, you, the little creation, telling the creator where how wrong he is. When the truth is, you just don't get it. You don't understand any of this, okay? And he's saying here, you weren't thankful. Now, here you go. When you do not recognize that there is a God, when you do not recognize that this is his handiwork, that there is a Godhead, that there really is this divine plan of even salvation, when you don't understand that, it says, and you're not thankful for it, you become vain in your reasonings. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Vain. In other words, my reasonings are now ridiculous. It says, and then they have their undiscerning hearts is darkened. They can't discern through nature that there is a God. They can't discern that he's a good God, that he's a faithful God, that he's a creative God, that he's a mighty God, that he's amazing. And so because of that, their heart, which is their feelings, okay? Your heart is really your feelings. All of a sudden, your feelings are darkened. And what do you hear these people saying? I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like that. I don't believe that. I don't feel it. Well, how about repent for having your feelings darkened and ask God to bring light? Ask God to enlighten your feelings. God, I want to feel your presence. I don't want to have a wall there of darkness where I can't feel your presence. Lord, I want to feel right about the things that you made, how you made me, what you made me to be. I want to agree with you, God. I want these reasonings. Okay, can everybody see this? So the enemy sets things up so our reasonings become vain and we begin to defend ourselves, make up excuses, come up with this and that, stop communicating, blah, 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 right? It causes our hearts, because it could not discern how good God is based on nature, based on the things around us, then our feelings become messed up and darkened. They profess to be wise, but they're foolish. How many know this is the headlines in the paper? Amen? It's gotten so ridiculous. We are so in this season of these scriptures coming to pass, worse than ever. So they think what they say is wise, but it's so foolish. They've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into a likeness and image of their selves. Even like birds and animals and creeping things. It's basically, what is that? All the new age, all this false worship, all this crazy stuff, but even acting as if God is like them. And God's like, excuse me, could you just kind of look at the universe for a second? Can everybody get it? For me, it did not take ultrasounds and science to show me that that was a baby, a human being in the womb. Okay? But for all these people who were convinced that it was tissue, all they need to do now is look at an actual picture that's practically looks like a movie screen of your baby at teeny itsy bitsy age sucking its thumb and jumping away from danger. You can't look at that and say it's a glob. Even science proves it. God created it that way. And yet still, did you hear now they're trying to prosecute the people who exposed what was going on in Planned Parenthood about selling and saying they falsified information? We need to be praying, not laughing, seriously, we need to be praying. They're trying to put them in jail and shut every single person up who speaks truth. Amen. This is when if everybody would gang together and say, no, we're not tolerating this. I mean, you got people who kill people, seriously kill people. And groups of people get together and cause such a fuss to try to get them not to go to prison when they killed somebody. Here you got somebody who didn't do anything. And nobody cares if they're putting them in jail for trying to save babies. When are we going to care? Everybody should show up if this goes to court. This is where the church is lukewarm. This is where the church, if I can just get by, if my little life is okay, I don't want to rock the boat. All that's intimidation, you guys. This is intimidation to shut you up. This is intimidation to shut up believers. This is intimidation to shut up what's right and let darkness take over. All right. He goes on. Because of their wisdom being foolishness, because they have darkened emotions and they don't feel the right way how they should. Their reasonings are vain. They don't glorify God. Because of this, God gave them up to impurities and the lust of their hearts. Okay? When you see hearts, start putting feelings. Their lust is following their feelings. Well, I feel like this is what I want. I feel like this is right. I feel like this would be good. I feel like this is the best thing. Their bodies are being dishonored among themselves. God created us in a way to honor our bodies. And let's be honest, in sexual perversion, even men and women, it's gotten very dishonorable. We need to sit there and say, is this how it was created? Is this honoring or is this perverted? We need to get serious about perversion is perversion. But then this is a perversion. And God is so clear in Scripture. There's no way to read the Scriptures, none, and justify homosexuality, gender, any of it. There's no way. God's saying, here's God's like, look, if you put a bunch of men on an island by themselves, and no technology, and you put a bunch of women on an island by themselves and no technology, and then you put a bunch of men and women together on an island, no technology, who is going to still be around 100 years from now? Huh? The men and the women. None of the others would be here. None of them. Amen? None of them. Outside of technology, none of them would be here. None of them. That's what God's talking about. He goes, even in the natural, I've made this clear. I just made this so easy. This is not hard. This is easy. This is like the easiest stuff to know. if you can pee on the wall, you're a boy. The Bible says so. We've got to watch putting this on the radio. Okay, here we go. Let's go to psychiatrists. Let's go to doctors. Let's get special laws for people who don't know this. Amen? How about sit them down and say, or take them, you know, if you're the parent, let's go and find a wall. Amen? If you pee on it, you're a boy. If you can't, you're a girl. We don't have to be tormented about this anymore. We don't have to debate this anymore. This is how easy this is. Even nature shows it. Amen? 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 Okay. Now, if they don't believe that because of all the lies and stuff, then you're going to have to sit there and help them believe truth, which ought to be easy because nature proves it. Amen? It would, if they would take people really struggling with this gender identity, and I do believe it's strong, really strong demonic things. I'm not pretending it's simple. But if they would take even a part of the time and finances to help them straighten out their thinking, it would be a lot more better for them medically, every other way, and for society, right? I'm not saying we don't put the time into that. I'm not saying ministry should be there to help. Amen? We shouldn't be laughing and mocking and making fun of what the enemy's done to hurt people. Amen? That's where the church has missed it. But gosh, this younger generation, y'all are hearing so much ridiculous stuff. We complicate stuff that's simple. And then if we could come, what do you have to do? Come to the agreement on truth. Amen? This is true. So whatever feelings don't agree with this, let's deal with where that's been hardened. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm serious. If we would start with the simplicity of truth and communicate and talk and share, and everything that doesn't line up with that truth is a lie. And when I believe the lie, I open my mind to torment, to vain reasonings. I open my mind to perversion. Amen? Go back to the truth and simplicity of things. Amen? Go back to the truth and simplicity that you are wonderfully made in the image of God. If you would go back to truth, you would break the power of all this vain reasoning that keeps you tormented. Let's finish just this little part. They've changed the truth of God into the lie. They worship and served the created thing, which is themselves, more than the creator, our God who's blessed forever. All right? This is so powerful for spiritual warfare. Strongholds and lies are based on, torment is based on, you've exchanged a biblical truth for a lie. Societies get corrupted and perverted and fall apart when we change biblical truths for lies. Amen? Amen? Here's the good thing. That's simple. Do you get it? It's simple. Your problem isn't something God did to you. Your problem isn't something that you're so messed up. You just bought a lie. Amen. You just bought a lie. Now, yeah, when you buy a lie and you exchange it for truth, then you really do open up. And if you start to be mad at God and bitter against God and don't believe in God and you don't longer recognize what God shows in creation, when you throw all that out, then your thinking is turned over to vanity and the enemy has access in to torment you. Your feelings are all messed up now. Your feelings are darkened. You're going by feelings that don't make sense. So it might be, you might have feelings for the same sex that are wrong. Well, that came in because of what this says here. So what you have to do is repent of all those things, break the power of those lies, and then ask God to enlighten your feelings. Enlighten my heart, God. Enlighten my heart, God. Enlighten my heart so I can have my feelings the way they belong. Amen? I go by truth. And then I make my feelings line up. I don't go by feelings and then change truth. Amen? Same thing about marriage. It's the same thing about divorce. It's all the same. This is the truth. Amen? This is the truth. This is what God says marriage is. This is what it is. God says exactly when he says it's a divorce, and I don't care what, look, there's nobody in this room who will say that, hopefully, that just because society says an abortion is okay, we'd all say no abortion's murder, right? Well, just because society says divorce is okay, we need to recognize God says you're not even divorced until one person's been unfaithful to the other. And he says you can separate where there's no peace in the home, but he says you can't really divorce until somebody's been unfaithful to the other. Amen? So if God sees you as married, it doesn't matter what the courts see you as. Amen? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you this is scripture. When do we exchange what God says for what we want to believe? How about having this big God who can fix everything? They've changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the thing more than the Creator. Because of this, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For even their females changed the natural use to the contrary to nature. And likewise, the males all forsaken the natural use of the female, burned in their lust towards one another. Males with males working out shamefulness, receiving back within themselves the reward which is fitting for their error. People can say what they want. AIDS and all these diseases and all this torment and all this perversion is receiving back in themselves for totally, totally walking away from God's truth and exchanging it for a lie. It goes on. And even as they did not think fit to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do the things not right. Reprobate means completely, completely cut off from truth and pervert it. It means they kept on and on and on, switching things, twisting things, trying to justify vain reasonings, darkened heart. They kept on and on and on until God says, you want that? Have it. And basically walks away. And things get worse and worse and worse. He goes on. And even as they did not think God fit to have God in their knowledge. Okay, can I say this? One of the things that turns you over to this, is turning our society over to this, is not thinking it's fit to have God in your knowledge. So we want to have God in our knowledge. We want to understand God. We want to agree with God. And if you've been turned over to a reprobate because you've ever done these things, it's not the unforgivable sin. It means you're extremely tormented. Perversion tries to get you everywhere you go. It's very, very tormenting. It's very, very strong. And what you need to do is start with this teaching, tear it apart, and repent for what needs to be repented of. Break the power of every single lie. Take it seriously. Take it as if you were fighting for your life against cancer. Find out how it got in, what you believe, what the lies is. Get out of secrecy. Break the power of the enemy. Take it as warfare. Don't take it as a 5-second prophecy. Somebody else prophesied over me or prayed for me. Only you know how hard this battle is for you. Amen? For some people, they can get free from pornography like that. Some people can come in and they never even liked the homosexual lifestyle, but they gave into it some, but it never felt right to them. They never gave up God in their knowledge and they get free really quick. Other people have been totally turned over to reprobate. They're living in that garbage. They're walking in that garbage and they're in delusion or whatever. Amen? So we don't judge. Amen? We don't judge. But I know this. Our God is powerful and great. And if you got a gigantic battle ahead of you, then fight it. Amen? Fight it. Fight for your life. Fight to break it off your kids. Fight to break it out of your house. Get so serious about destroying the enemy. And this is the perfect scriptures for it right here. Right here is the perfect scriptures for it. And we don't have time, but next week I will be here. We're going to talk about what it's like to be filled with unrighteousness, fornication, iniquity. Won't this be fun? Covetousness, malice, envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits. Evil habits. Becoming whisperers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, proud, braggers, devisers of evil things, disobedience to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, this is going to take a long time, without natural affections, unforgiving, unmerciful, and knowing the righteous order of God, that those practicing these things are worthy of death, but not only those who do them, but everyone who approves them. Watch what you approve with your vote. Watch what you approve with your silence. Amen? Now that's a long list. So if you're struggling with perversion, if you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with unclean stuff, if you ever gave in to any of this stuff, or if you're even starting to believe some of this is okay, study each of those words, see where it's in your heart, and ask God to get it out. Amen? And hopefully, next week, it'll be such a fun week. We'll go word by word and hit those things. Amen? Then there's one other teaching. I think I'll have one more week. Yeah, I'll have one more week before India. And then I'll do the one in Timothy that talks about a few more of those things. Because that's how you take the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And not one single word is listed there or placed there by accident. Amen? And I encourage you, King James is really good. If you can't find the literal, King James really, the Strong's is really done well. But if you go to King James, to the where it takes you to the Strong's, you'll see a bunch of other words. You can actually see some of this could have been different ways it could have been translated. And you ask Holy Spirit, show me if any of this is still in my heart. Show me, show me, show me. Come on, guys. You got to go deep, and you got to really break free. Amen? And you're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it for you. If there's stuff that's coming on your children, then don't look anywhere else except at your heart and see if there's any of this in your heart. And children, they grow up and they make their own decisions. But I'm telling you what, when you bust off some of the stuff that was able to go through the family line, it's going to start helping them hear God and break free themselves. Amen? You can't change anybody but you. But how many wants to be completely cleansed and holy and pure before God? Amen? Amen? So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we just give you praise for all that you're doing. You're awesome. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you, God, that these are not the unforgivable sin. Thank you, God, that you can take all of our reasoning and put it back for your glory. Thank you, God, that you can soften our hearts, Lord God. Thank you, God, that instead of hardened hearts, we can have discerning, softened hearts. Lord, I thank you that you're able to completely restore us in a great and powerful way, and make it as if, Lord, turn what was meant for evil to good. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.